Today I'm going to talk about how the sequence of extreme precipitation years interact with corn and soybean rotation to affect nitrogen loss in a corn and soybean based cropping system, and what we can do to mitigate that effect. And as we know that climate change is occurring, which has resulted in increased precipitation over time, here is one graph showing the spring and summer rainfall in Iowa from 1893 to 2014. Here in this graph, July to August precipitation is on y-axis, is plotted against May to June precipitation on x-axis. Here the blue points indicate rainfall events during an earlier period of 1893 to 1980, while the red points indicate rainfall precipitation events during a later period of 1981 to 2014. These circles represent a 95% confidence limit for all the points. As you will see, there were more blue red points for the later rainfall period, which laid outside of this circle, or some recent years like 2010, 14, 8, 13, and 12 laid outside as well, which shows that we are already in a condition of extreme precipitation events, which is really a dramatic shift and can pose severe threats. Among those threats include increased nitrate leaching to groundwater and increased N2O emissions from soil to atmosphere. So we need to come up with best agronomic management practices which can help us to mitigate these effects. For example, cover crop is the one option, including crop rotations or using conservation tillage, perennial filter strips are the other options that we can use. In one of our recent studies, we studied nitrogen dynamics in corn and soybean cropping system. And here we studied that at three nitrogen fertilizer rates as shown on the x-axis. We found here a higher cumulative nitrate concentration in a corn dry year of 2012 and soybean normal year of 2013 compared to a corn normal year of 2011 and soybean dry year of 2012. So whether this difference could have been denitrified, we looked at the cumulative N2 emissions across these rotations. However, we found the opposite pattern. So here we found lower N2 emissions in a drought-affiliated crop rotation, where we found higher cumulative nitrate concentration. So this raised a question: if this was lost through leaching. So we assume that a corn dry year followed by a normal soybean year or wet year can have higher nitrogen loss or nitrate leaching compared to a normal corn year followed by dry, normal, or wet soybean year. To assume this, to test these assumptions, we used measure data and a Dasen model to compare sequence of extreme precipitation years and their effect on nitrogen losses and corn soybean cropping system. So we hypothesized that pattern of extreme precipitation years can have a non-additive effect on nitrogen loss from corn soybean rotation, and a cover crop included in this rotation can help to mitigate this effect. Our site included a corn soybean rotation in a split block design with and without cover crop and with three nitrogen fertilizer rates. These nitrogen fertilizer were only applied in corn while no nitrogen was applied in soybean corn phase of the rotation. At our site we had two fields, corn and soybean. Each year was switched between those two fields, so which resulted in two crop rotations, soybean corn and corn soybean rotation. And then during these 3 years of our study, we measured N2O, CO2, some soil variables, and some crop variables during these 3 periods. Results of these field measurements can be found in one of our journal, in Journal of Environmental Quality. However, here today I'm going to talk about simulation modeling that I have performed using that measured data. So we use some gas fluxes like N2O and CO2, some soil variables and crop variables over 3 seasons, 2 rotations, and 3 nitrogen rates with calibration for, with cover crop for calibration and without cover crop for validation. And then we created some extreme precipitation scenarios. For example, here in this graph, you would see cumulative precipitation on the y-axis is plotted against average temperature here for the last 64 years. Based on these summaries, we selected three extreme years, or two extreme years, one normal year, an extreme wet year of 93, normal year of 92, and extreme dry year of 80. And then we transposed this precipitation data into a Conant-Sabine rotation with nine possible combination, for example, dry con, normal con, wet con, with dry, normal, at wet soybean years. Here are the results of our study. Simulated grain yields are shown on the y-axis, the observed are shown on the x-axis. We found a good correlation between these two, which showed that the model was well calibrated and validated. In this graph, you would see enterofluxes on the y-axis shown over time. On the x-axis, the left six panels are showing calibrated values for the model, while the right six panels are showing the validated values. In these panels, the red line indicates simulated enterofluxes, while the circle represents the observed fluxes. As you would see here, the pattern of simulated and observed enterofluxes were really similar during most of the period, which really showed that the model was well calibrated and validated, given that the chances for carryover effect and complex interaction with management practices were quite high. Model also responded well to CO2 fluxes during calibration and validation, and it also captured soil temperature over time in during calibration and validation. We observed the same trend for soil moisture. For soil nitrate, model estimated nitrate very well during soybean phase of the rotation. However, during corn phase of the rotation, as you would see, model underestimated soil nitrate concentration. It was because nitrogen was banded at our site, and model cannot simulate the banded nitrogen. Model can parameterize to improve these estimates. So here are the results for the precipitation scenario analysis that we did only at optimum nitrogen rate. Want to explain first that we, in order to calculate the effect of extreme precipitation scenarios on nitrogen loss in the formal in the form of N2O, we subtracted N2O of normal crop rotation from other eight rotations or other eight scenarios, as you will see on the y-axis. So model has a non-additive effect on N2O loss. For example, as you would see, dry corn and normal soybean year has lower N2O emissions compared to a normal corn and dry soybean year. So similarly, we found lower N2O emissions from a dry corn and wet soybean rotation compared to a wet corn and dry soybean rotation. And these results were similar what we found during our field measurements. For example, we found lower N2O emissions from a dry year of corn 2012 and a normal soybean. So this really indicates that extreme wet year, extreme dry year can really have a significant effect on nitrogen balance in our cropping system. For example, here corn and soybean cropping system. So we found non-additive effects of nitrate leaching across these scenarios as well. As you would see, for example, here, dry corn and wet soybean year had higher nitrate leaching compared to a wet corn and dry soybean year. And again, these results corresponded to our field measurements, where we found higher cumulative nitrate concentration in a dry year of corn 2012 and a normal year of soybean 2013. So this really indicates that these wet years and the extreme, the dry year can really shift the nitrogen balance in our cropping system. And we found these nitrate, cumulative nitrate concentration could have been lost through nitrate leaching in this rotation. And we found similar results in a normal corn and wet soybean year with higher nitrate leaching compared to a wet corn and normal soybean rotation. We need to come up with mitigation measures. For example, including cover crop is one of the options. As you would see here, including cover crop, reduced nitrate leaching in most of the scenarios, which really indicates that there are chances to mitigate the effect that we are seeing as a result of climate change. With this, I would say that dry years or the wet years, the extreme precipitation events can really pose a threat and can shift the nitrogen balance in our cropping system, potentially creating a climate change feedback. So we need to come up with some best agronomic management practices or nutrient management practices which can help us to reduce these effects or mitigate these effects. With this, I would like to thank authors on this work for their significant contribution, and I would also like to appreciate USDA-NEPA for their support. And with this, I am ready for any questions.